She loved her job and she loved them, and I was not at all surprised that she would do this, that she would protect them and give her life to save theirs. It was heartbreaking, but I knew that that's Vicky, that's what she would do. These kids were her light.
We're talking about that's Victoria Soto, that's her former college roommate, who was not surprised that her 27-year-old buddy would throw herself in front of bullets to protect her kids. What makes somebody so courageous in a time like that? Why would a principal run at a gunman unarmed and try to stop him where others might run through a window and try to save themselves? Martin Brownstein is author and management consultant. He most recently wrote two books, one called Two Among the Righteous Few, a story of courage in the Holocaust. And he thinks he understands. Marty, why do people act like heroes and others don't?
Well, I think it comes down to, and I'll go to my story that you just mentioned for a moment. This is about a Dutch couple in the Netherlands who helped save the lives of 24 Jews from certain death during the Holocaust. And I think what you saw with them that we're probably seeing with this whole Connecticut thing is these are people who were willing to care. That's how they led their life. And when they saw this need or opportunity come up where help was desperately needed, they stepped in, not thinking about being a hero, but just thinking about what can I do to help this tough situation.
Well, if you don't practice it, where does that come from?
Well, it's a lot of it is character, how people are raised, the ethics and values and how they lead their life. And so I think when you see people as part of their life that say providing good service to others, being responsive, helping, caring for someone beyond myself, I think those things are what develops people to say in times of crisis or need, they're the ones more likely to step up.
Well, that's fine. You want to help people. You want to go to a church and bail people out. You want to donate clothing. But when you have not had an experience of being shot at,
yeah,
but yet you instinctively run to the bullets to protect others, where do you put fear? Where do people learn to put fear without having practiced it?
Yes, yes. It's a good question. I think sometimes what we've seen, and I'm going to go from my own study of heroes of the Holocaust who lived with this kind of fear and lived on the edge because if they get caught by the Nazis, they're doomed, and some did, is that I think sometimes the fear you feel inside gets put aside when the situations call for, can you help others in need? And so I think often I've seen people that say, regardless of how I feel, I might feel uncomfortable, I might feel fearful, there's something else in them that says, but action is needed, and I'll go forward and act. And that's certainly what we saw here in Connecticut, what I saw in terms of my study on heroes of the Holocaust, and in particular, the Dutch couple Franz and Mien Weinacher.
Marty, from what you discovered, as people listen right now and they wonder how they would act if something happened in their workplace or their school tomorrow or their house over the weekend,
right,
and they were wondering how they would react, what would you recommend they do? Rehearse in their mind how they prefer to act, how they should act, or trust their instinct and their ethics and their values?
Well, I would certainly go with the latter. Your instincts, your ethics, your values. And I more look at, we don't know when these things are going to happen, if they're ever going to happen, and hopefully for most of us they don't, certainly these situations of violence. But I look at more as the lessons you learn from this is, how do you lead your life day in and day out? And are you a person that makes a positive difference? When we look at people like Victoria Soto here, when you read about what she was like as a teacher and as a person, there's a lot of good lessons you can learn. She was really someone who cared about her students, someone who cared about other people. I think those things prepare someone that if there's a time of need, and I wouldn't blame anybody with fear to drive them away, but when time of need would come, I think those are the people that are ready to do something about it because they've already been doing things in their life to help other people.
See, I know how a Navy SEAL would act or a first responder on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trained to do it. I'm still in awe
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
The reason why I think you're such a great guest right now is just I don't understand how someone who trains their lives in education and child psychology, perhaps, will act like that when they see their life threatened. There's something about kids, too, Marty. There's
right.
an instinct among adults to protect children, no matter how well you know them.
Very good point. And it's those people who have that sense of, I'm here to protect children. My life doesn't come first at that point. That they have that thinking that certainly then got drove to the forefront. And certainly in my study on heroes of the Holocaust, people who were very small in number, these non-Jews who risked their lives to save Jews during the Holocaust, had those same kinds of qualities. And they often had this boldness that in these situations of great danger and fear, they had this boldness to just step up and play the part to try to help. And I think we see this in some other situations, like which would happen in Newtown, is that this boldness took over and the fear was probably put aside because they didn't have time to think. They had to react.
Martin Brownstein, congratulations on your book, Two Among the Righteous Few, A Story of Courage in the Holocaust. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brian.